Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Nerd Revolution Radio presents the Arrowverse Recap. Here is the episode that Jack and I have been looking forward to all season long. It is Supergirl and Batwoman.
Yeah.
I made it.
You did.
I did. Okay. So, Jack's back. I'm back, Frank. And JJ's back.
I'm back.
JJ hasn't been around in a while. He's had some stuff going on.
Yes.
So, we are going to talk about Batwoman, and we are talking about the episode called Tell Me the Truth.
Super exciting title.
Sorry, that's not it. Tell Me the Truth is actually tonight's or tomorrow's episode. We'll be talking about I'll Be Judge, I'll Be Jury.
Oh, that sounds like it makes more sense.
Episode number 6. I mistakenly gave you the title for episode 7.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yes. So, I didn't do a ton of in-depth notes like the last one.
Yeah.
So I have, the episode starts off guy on a phone.
Yeah.
And then the guy can't outrun the water, which was my favorite part so far. So right in the beginning, there is a hooded executioner.
Right.
With a battle axe who aptly becomes named the executioner. And he's chasing down this guy. So he goes over to a fire hydrant, chops the fire hydrant open, and then sets off an electrical charge from something. So he electrifies the water. So the guy that was going to get in his car started running away from the water right at the chain link fence.
Right, and the water hit the chain link fence. And
because the guy couldn't outrun the water and climb the fence in time, the water hits the fence.
It's a fire hydrant.
Bzz.
There's some pressure.
Yep.
Some water flowage.
Yeah, very slow, but it was very slow flowage. It was like trickle
it's
water
to him.
It was. So he dies.
Yeah, well, there wouldn't have been an episode if he hadn't died.
Correct. Then we flash over to Ruby. Well, not
Kate?
Ruby, but Kate.
Yeah.
And Daddy having a nice little chit-chat, looking over pictures of the mask in the water, the floating face in the water.
Yeah, that they're still a little hung up on the whole Beth thing. They don't really have a lot to talk about besides what happened to Beth.
No. Something interesting that popped up, though, was the prosecutor who brought Jack Napier to justice. So the news...
Right.
The news...
So, and Jack Napier is from...
Batman, the Tim Burton version.
Correct.
So they name drop him as the Joker.
So you got to wonder, though, is Michael Keaton the Batman
that
from this world?
Actually would be awesome, and it would tie into the Crisis.
Right. Is that why we saw that spoiler picture before of Michael Keaton?
Is that why he disappeared? Could be.
Could be.
Okay. But the fact that they name drop Jack Napier, who was later revealed to be the Joker, was actually kind
of
neat.
Right, and that's one of the only areas of the mythos where Jack Napier is the Joker.
So then...
Not Affleck.
No, I like him better.
You like Affleck better?
I actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge Affleck fan. So then we go into Jacob giving a speech, right?
Yeah.
To all of his crow people about vigilantism and how they're going to, you know...
Yeah, they should really call Star City and see how they've been dealing with it. I feel like it's not that far away.
You think that might happen?
No. I don't think they remember that there's been other vigilantes that came to town.
But
and we're in Arkham. Like,
so,
last week.
There's a crime committed. This would be the guy dying. And nobody called the crows because it was in their district. I didn't know they had a district.
Yeah, well, I have that in a little bit, but
okay.
I feel like...
Did I miss some good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, well...
I was kind of jotting while watching.
So you see the skin mask, right? And
yes.
You see Beth presenting that.
Yes.
To Mouse.
Yeah, well, yes.
Right? That was before where you're at, I think. Before we talked about the district.
Because
Sophie had asked to go on a special assignment, so Jacob hadn't talked to the crows yet. Sophie wanted to go on a special assignment to go hang out with Batwoman because she thinks she's going to try and bang her.
Because she thinks she knows who it is.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not cheating if it's not Kate,
I think,
is where we're going to end up going with that.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah. So the skin mask, though, but now this is a world where we had the human target and Arrow.
The human
target.
Oh.
Who can change his face.
Yes.
right, through touching in the masks and everything. But you have to cut off somebody else's face in Batwoman,
right,
to put a mask on somebody.
Because it's Gotham.
Right. Just saying. Feel like the technology is there in the Arrowverse somewhere. That you don't need to go rob a cadaver, especially when we just had Alice in the last episode, or not last episode, but so far this season, had enough pull she could infiltrate the Crows. She had an entire gang working for her, and all these contacts and all this, but still hasn't figured out how to get a mask made.
No.
Other than of human flesh.
Not to mention the 3D printer that obviously works really well either.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah.
Just, who are the Crows?
So the Crows in Gotham now are the police. Well, it's a private security firm.
So Batman's been missing for the last 3 years. The Crows, as an organization, stepped in to fill that gap left by Batman.
Gotcha.
To help the GCPD.
And they just happen to be run by the ex-husband, well, the widower.
Go ahead.
Of Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Ruby Rose is Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Oh, wait, or... So that would make...
I'm sorry, Kate Kane is Bruce Wayne's cousin.
That would her be Bruce's sister?
Father is... Yeah, they're all related. It's they're all related.
Okay, that sounds simplistic enough. Okay, anyway, continue.
Yes, so...
So and then he's impersonating Dean. We hear about Commissioner Forbes.
Oh, well, but we skipped over the whole... they called the Bat. So instead of calling the Crows about the death...
Right.
Somebody turned on the bat signal. Instead of calling the Crows, which what normally would have happened is they would call the Crows in. The Crows would come in and investigate with the one or two people that work for the Crows. Well, I mean, they have a whole group of people, but one or two people are the only people that do anything. They threw up the bat signal, which pissed off Commander Kane.
Right.
Then he made a speech. Then we get back to Kate at the Wayne Tower.
Right.
And they drop Commissioner Forbes. Which is a good comic book thing, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just know that it means that Gordon's no longer around.
No. So, as I did some Googling, Jack Forbes in the comics was the head of GCPD's Internal Affairs Department. And according to this, he was in the comics, as corrupt as they come, willing to work with crime families like the Falcones. He took charge of the GCPD after Commissioner Gordon was framed with responsibility for a horrific subway accident. So they didn't say anything about that, but maybe this is the same corrupt type of guy.
Or they didn't want to pay for Commissioner Gordon, and they're not allowed to use him. My bet.
Yeah, maybe. I mean...
I bet they're not allowed to use... Just like they're not using Lucius Fox.
Well, we find out where Lucius Fox is. We had been wondering all along what happened to Lucius Fox. That just segues right into... us finding out what happened to Lucius.
Yeah, there was an armed robbery.
Yes. See, Lucius, his son...
is Luke. One of the Batmans.
No.
No, he's not a Batman, but... So, Lucius...
He's part of the Bat family, though, right?
He is in the comics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lucius, not on the show.
Lucius created all of the Bat Tech, or helped create the Bat
Lucius
Tech.
I know who Lucius is,
So, Lucius had a son, Luke. Luke got into MIT,
right.
And they were having a big family party, and they just...
It was Luke graduated high school.
Graduated high school, that's right, and was accepted to MIT, but never went.
But that was later, they kept talking about that.
But what had happened was they ran out of ice at the party, as you do in Gotham, and when Lucius went out to get ice, as you do in Gotham, he was shot and killed, as happens in Gotham.
So the craziest part for me about that is, so I guess as soon as Lucius got killed, which we don't know when it is.
Right.
So if it was more than 3 years ago, which I would assume it is because Luke doesn't seem to be 21.
No.
Right?
No, he's a little older, it looks
like. So as soon as he graduated high school, Bruce Wayne took him in and told him all of his secrets?
Everything.
Which makes no sense, really.
It is the Arrowverse.
Yeah, but that's a big...
It wouldn't shock me if he knew who Barry Allen was at this stage.
Well, that's because Barry has a billboard, but not in Central City. It's in Gotham.
Right.
Is where the billboard for Barry Allen is.
Wait, so Barry Allen revealed himself to be the Flash in Gotham?
No.
No, but Barry Allen reveals himself to be the Flash basically to everybody that meets him.
That is very true.
He really does. They literally... the whole trope of I have a secret identity in the Arrowverse is really, really bad.
Really in all comic books of media.
Right. They're just really, it's more emphasized because you're watching it on TV.
Sure.
And they're paying for the person's face.
Right, right. So, now we see the Crows actually do stuff.
Yeah, well, that's why I was confused that the Crows have a district that they ran.
Right.
And that's where they mentioned that, and I have that in my notes, that I was very confused that all of a sudden the Crows have a district that they watch.
So the GCPD would patrol all of Gotham except the district that the Crows patrol?
What it sounds like.
That doesn't make any sense. That just sounds kind of stupid.
And they figure out that the executioner might be this guy, the Fist.
Right. The guy that got locked up in Blackgate.
Right. So the Crows make a plan with GCPD to go capture the Fist,
which is led by Jacob. Because, right, you know, the commander always leads his troops.
Right. Even though he just was stabbed.
Yes.
He recovered incredibly quickly from this. It's been a month. It kind of vague on their timelines on the show.
They might be just trying to catch up to the rest of...
Yeah, I'm not sure how that part's working, because I was thinking about this earlier. So last year with the Elseworlds crossover, which lined up with episode 4-ish of Batwoman.
Right.
Batwoman seemed really in her role and knew what was going on and how everything was working. And then we're back to, hey, how does this work? Every episode still.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah. There's another really fun thing that happens with the bat stuff in a little bit that I had a little bit of an issue with.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did too.
So this was, yeah, so they triggered the guns at the place that the Fist was hiding.
Yes.
Sophie ends up getting shot.
Right. And
I have, oh snap, Sophie knows she's Kate.
As she's passing out from the gunshot wound, she says Kate's name.
Right.
Right. So,
and Kate, Donnelly had walked in. That was what triggered the guns.
Right.
Donnelly,
even though everybody was yelling at him to stop and not to walk any further. Right. Yeah, I have Detective Trigger's trap. Sophie is shot. Calls Batwoman Kate.
And then Kate leaves Donnelly to die.
Yes.
Right. And takes Sophie
to the secret hospital that Mary runs.
Right.
And, you know,
as you do in Gotham.
Her voice changer thing is different. Like, it's not as techno-y. Like, it seemed like it just kind of deepened her voice now. Like, it's not...
I don't think they're using one. I think she's trying to pull a Stephen Amell.
It's not working.
No.
Because every once in a while, they'll show her hitting the button, and her voice gets a little bit deeper.
Right.
But it's not, like the one from Justice League that Ben Affleck used...
Right.
...is what they should have used all along.
Right.
Like, that kind of technology.
Right.
Okay. So, yes, Batwoman brings Sophie to Mary, wants Mary to fix her up, not to let her leave, and then disappears.
Right, and then we cut back to Mouse.
Who sucks at pretending.
Yeah, and it's pretending to be Dean, and goes, and Catherine's company's somehow got the railgun from Wayne Enterprises, which is weird, because she's not part of Wayne Enterprises.
No.
And the railgun was supposedly just designed for that.
Right.
But they ended up with it.
Yep. And I have
And Dean's the one that figured out how it works.
I have another bat-killing weapon.
Well, it's the same one.
Right. I didn't realize it was the same one, but...
Yeah, which doesn't make sense.
No.
That they let that one, as much as they fought to get it back from Tommy.
Right.
Now they just let whoever wants it get it.
And then they drop another Tim Burton Batman thing. As Lucius is going back over the history of things that happen in the city, they drop Mayor Cobblepot.
Well, that's been in all of the different ones.
Has it?
Well, it was in Gotham.
Right. Well, I remember that.
It's been in the comics.
I know it was definitely in Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah. Because he runs. It's been in multiple different.
But that is good. If this is the Tim Burton Batman timeline, it ties that right up again.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we get the security guard hitting on Batwoman.
Oh, God. That was the best part of the show. Because it was real.
Right.
Like, that was like... There was a Batwoman shows up at this warehouse, and she's on one side of the boxes, and this security guard's on the other side of the boxes, and he's hitting on her the whole time while she's trying to get information. And he lifts up his phone to take a picture of her, and she flicks a batarang at him and knocks it out of his hand. Awesome. It's just awesome because it was the realest thing that happened in the episode.
Yeah.
They're on other side of boxes?
Yeah, like in shelves, like shelving.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She's walking down one aisle
in a warehouse.
He's hitting on her, okay.
Yeah, he's hitting on her. It was actually pretty funny. So the Crows catch the Fist.
Before he gets to the warehouse.
Before he gets to the warehouse.
And then a truck drives right through the door and right into Kate.
This is where I had my problem.
And then he steals some cyanide. And we realize the fist obviously isn't going to be the executioner for it. So,
right.
Cool. I mean, red herring, that's you know, fine. And then are you upset about the suit fibers?
I'm upset about how they found the license plate number of the pickup truck.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you ever watched the show Bones.
No.
So on Bones, whatever they needed there to be a database for, whether it was like the footprint database or like the clothing fiber database, whatever that episode needed a database for, they had one.
Mm-hmm. But this is the impact of the license plate left an imprint in the Batsuit.
Yeah.
With the license plate number.
Because the suit fibers record every impact that hits the bat suit so that you can measure how people are attacking you and fist punch you. Right. But it also records impressions.
Yes.
So it recorded the imprint of the truck license plate that ran into her.
That sounds terrible.
It really is a stretch. That was my biggest problem of the entire episode. Oof. Yeah. So Sophie wakes up. Back at the Mary's hospital, they have their little chat, and Mary kind of spills her beans and tells her what she's doing and all this, and Sophie wants to get, you know, I want to, you know, let me go, and Mary's like, no.
Right, and I totally see Sophie blowing Mary's cover.
Yeah, so do I.
I just really don't like that character in general.
Which one?
Sophie.
Yeah.
I don't get where Kate would have, like, doesn't seem like Kate's type.
Oh, but... There's more of that later in the next episode. It looks like they're kind of... Anyway, so...
Spoilers.
Yeah, so...
Oh, so anyway, yeah, so then we find out... What did we find out there?
We found out it's the flash drive.
Yeah, well, he's Blackgate prison guard. The license plate registered to him.
Right.
And they used the bat protocol.
Yes, there was a bat... She asked what the
bat... What is bat protocol for going to somebody's house?
This actually was a part I kind of enjoyed a little bit, too, because she walks in the house, and there's a cyanide canister on a table. And she's talking to Lucius...
Luke.
Or Luke is her guy in the chair. So
the Oracle?
Yes, for lack of a better word. So when she walks in and she sees the cyanide canister just sitting on the table, she kind of looks around and I guess she does like a bat scan and there's no traps, there's no pressure plates. And she asks Luke what the bat protocol is. And Luke says, hold on, let me get back to you. So as she's waiting, she actually asks him if he'll play hold music for her because she waited so long. That was actually amusing.
Yeah.
I thought her acting was a lot better this episode. Like it seems like it's coming... Like her scenes with her father and like...
Yeah, her delivery is just so...
Monotone.
Ugh.
Yeah. So she gets tired of waiting, grabs the canister, opens it up, and there's a flash drive inside.
Right.
Which she takes back to the Batcave and they watch. And
we get the whole story.
Gotham's
corrupt. Shocking. Yes. Nobody would have thought Gotham was corrupt.
So the judge, the prosecutor,
and
the lawyers...
This guy as the executioner for the prison...
Right.
Ended up killing a bunch of innocent people.
Right.
That were framed for what they'd done, so now he wants to punish the people that sent all them there because he noticed they were all profiling and...
Right, it was every prisoner that came in was a different color, or there were no white rich people coming in to the prison because Gotham.
Right.
So...
It's because Batman can never catch any of them, they all go to Arkham.
So I have, Batwoman has great aim. So when she threw the batarang...
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
To deliver it to Jacob, you mean?
Yes. She throws it right by his head, a la Batman, and sticks it perfectly in the truck with the flash drive part hanging off.
Which is interesting, because I guess that means that this batarang was weighted less to compensate for the USB stick.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise it wouldn't have flown right.
Right.
Based on her not being able to catch the one that was... For the wrong arm length.
So, earlier, there was a little...
Yeah, did you catch that, JJ? Her batarang was weighted for the wrong arm length, so it didn't come right back to her.
In an earlier episode,
she
threw a batarang at someone, and as it was coming back, it wasn't that it was weighted. It was weighted. It was calibrated to Bruce's longer arms and not her shorter arms.
I thought The Last
arms.
Jedi was ridiculous, but damn, this... I mean, I haven't even watched 1 minute of this show. This just sounds worse than The Last Jedi.
Yeah, it's for the best.
We didn't talk about the friction that had started to develop between Alice and Mouse earlier in the episode, where he was kind of accusing her of trying to save her sister.
Right.
Which comes into play now, where Alice is sitting... playing checkers with the captured scientist.
Dean, yeah.
And gets a phone call.
Right.
From her sister.
Yeah.
And she kind of...
And I bought it. I was like, oh, that's weird that Kate's calling her.
Bought it, too. She kind of revealed everything.
Right.
And then Mouse walks out with the phone.
Because he can mimic anybody.
And that was actually pretty cool. That was a little pretty cool little moment.
Right, and then it came at Beth for having kept secrets from him.
Right.
Which goes back to, again, remember how, like, not long ago, Beth had this big gang and
yes.
could infiltrate the crows and all these things?
Now it's just
her and Mouse against the world.
Yes.
Which is very bizarre.
Well, they'll probably bring the rest of the gang in when they need them.
Maybe. I don't know where they're hiding. Like, it's weird.
Then we go back to...
Because we had predicted before there was some big organization behind her disappearance.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was just some crazy doctor and his kid.
Yep, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, our predictions were way off.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to make predictions on a show that you're struggling to watch.
Yeah.
And I hate it because I'm a huge fan of the Bat mythos. And this is...
And I loved Gotham from start to finish.
Yeah.
Because that show just leaned into being... sorry for the pun, but batshit crazy, and just went all in and said, you know what, we're gonna just do whatever we want.
Yep.
And you're gonna watch it and it's gonna be great,
and everybody, and you watched it
and it was great.
Did I misread it that I saw Rotten Tomatoes gave like this show like amazing reviews and stuff?
No you misread it.
Yes,
because the first episode it got like an 11.
Okay, maybe I, all right, I'm thinking of something else.
And that was
something got amazing reviews and not a lot of people liked it.
This show also
definitely
got
not this show
more it got more ratings for its first episode than Arrow got for its entire seventh season. So it was
negative
a little bit...
Reviews.
Yeah, it was, well, no, just reviews, period. So it was a little spammed.
Yeah.
When it first came
people
out.
Shitting on it for no reason at first.
They hadn't
the
even
Russian
seen
bots.
Yet.
Yeah. So
I knew they'd be right.
So here we have Jacob is basically just telling Kate everything.
Who's Jacob?
Yep. Jacob is Kate's father. He runs the crows.
Got it.
He's
There's
really
my
not
dog.
Not great at
no
not leaving things out all over his office on
but,
the table, because Kate just walked right in and went through all of the.
But he finally reveals why he's so against Batman.
Right.
He blames Batman for everything that has gone wrong in his family from the disappearance of his daughter on.
That you skipped the whole climax of the show. Okay.
What? Oh, wow.
Did I? Which part?
I was
thrilled. That was later. Before that was when Kate... It's still the same thing. They're still in the office.
Right.
And Kate called Batwoman a social justice warrior at that point.
How did I miss that? How the hell did I miss that?
I'm glad I don't watch the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, even the show's like, hey, watch us preach. And this guy's going to say, why are you preaching like this? So now everybody will hate Jacob that watches the show, except for the people that hate watch the show.
Jesus.
Who are on his side. And then it's back to them fighting about Beth, because that's all they do.
Right.
And the weird part with this, though, so Kate, who's not a crow, right,
mm-hmm.
walks in, knows everything about the executioner case.
Yes.
And just has a back and forth with her dad, who doesn't think anything, like, why do you know everything about this case? That's weird.
She asks a couple of leading questions that
yeah.
only someone that has intimate knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah, it's really,
she
don't get it.
She kind of borderline defends Batwoman in a way to her dad, too, that kind of would make you kind of go, why are you defending her?
Yeah, and then we cut back to...
Mary?
To Mary
and
Sophia. And Mary comes at Sophia.
Right. That was good.
About hurting Kate and not effing up Batwoman's stuff.
Yep.
And Sophia says maybe, and then she bounces.
Right. She picked a lock.
Yeah. And then we go to the
courthouse. But it wasn't with a nail. They didn't show a nail. So it was a lock picked without a nail.
She did pick a lock.
She did? Yeah, she did. She.
No, she got the pipe. She loosened the pipe.
Oh, okay.
It was a very poor setup for her being locked up.
Yeah.
So then we get to the courthouse.
Yes. Because they're going to kill the judge. Because he's going to kill the judge. Because
the executioner is going to kill the judge. And everybody knows it, so they all go to the courthouse.
Everybody goes.
Batwoman's there. Then the crows show up. Then Jacob and Batwoman get separated with the executioner.
Oh, right.
Decent fight scene.
Yes. Not bad.
Great.
No. He just kind of overpowered her.
Well, she has a shitty fighting style. Because they do, like, that was a thing again in Elsewhere. She was a fantastic fighter.
Yep.
She's fighting the rogues gallery and doing fine. These, like, she does, like, a couple gym moves or, like, you know, acrobatic moves. And then she goes and tries to go toe-to-toe with a guy that's twice her size.
Right.
It's never going to work.
No.
Like, at least the show recognizes that. And when she tries to do that, she just gets smacked around. So then she's fighting that. Jacob then shoots him in the back.
Right.
And saves Kate.
Right. But he had a dead man switch on him that nobody knew about.
Right.
So the doors,
the cyanide fills the courtroom.
Right.
And now she has to talk to Luke, and this is where your MIT stuff comes in.
Yes, because he mentions that he was accepted to MIT, but he never went to MIT.
Yeah, she said, we need that big MIT brain.
Yes. So yeah. Then he figures out the hydrogen and combustible.
And hey, you can blow it up, and so blow it up, and she has her flame retardant cape, which I buy.
Yeah, that actually, no, that does.
That
was good. I have Jacob saves Batwoman, Batwoman saves Jacob with fire. Basically, right. She throws a grenade and a fire grenade, I guess.
That's where we cut back and we hear
them having a heart-to-heart.
Right.
Her acting wasn't that bad. Like, when she was going with her father and she kind of seemed like she was, like, actually getting into the emotional part of it.
Yeah, this was better. And he admits, and they have their hug, and they...
Right.
And, yeah,
He blames Batman, because if he doesn't blame Batman, he has to blame himself.
Right.
Sad tear.
Well, he has to blame the symbol.
The symbol, that's right. Said, yeah. That's why he hates, yes.
Right.
So, then, we have Mouse and Alice have a heart-to-heart just down the street from Wayne Tower.
Right.
In the middle of the street.
Because that's, you know... It's Gotham.
It's Gotham.
But God forbid the bat cameras be able to pick them up.
The first thing I thought about was the Wing closed circuit cameras.
Or the Crow's cameras, or the GCPD cameras, or, you know.
Nah.
It's an awesome show, JJ.
Man,
I feel like you need to catch up.
So, coming up, before we flip over to
There's more, because now we find out that they're reopening all of the cases that were tried.
That's right.
Including the people that killed Lucius.
Right.
So that'll be an ongoing storyline now.
That's a good thing, though. I like backstory.
Right, so we'll see. Maybe it was the wrong person convicted of killing Lucius.
I have a funny feeling you're going to see some kind of Bruce Wayne pop up by the end
and
of this
episode.
And
it was really, you know, somebody else killed Lucius. We'll find that out, and it'll play into something different.
It has to.
And then Kate went and talked to Mary.
Yes.
So my question is, though, so was this all in one night, this whole episode?
It really feels like it.
But, like, so Kate kept changing out of the Batwoman costume and going back to hang out at the Crow's headquarters?
Well, it was night. Like, I get it. Like, in Gotham, it's night perpetually.
Right,
usually.
But I'm just trying to figure out how long she thought Sophie was going to just hang out with Mary in the clinic.
It seemed
and
like
that
it was...
Mary was not allowed to do anything except for sit in the clinic with Sophie for...
The timing in this episode really was off for stuff like that. Like, they've done a better job of doing day-night.
Right, because at some point, Mouse went and stole the railgun.
Right.
And she had time to go search the executioner's apartment, listen to the USB, go to... There's not that many hours in the night.
No.
For all of the stuff that they had happen.
It was a very, very long night.
Uh-huh. It was not a long Halloween, but it was a long night.
It was a long night.
And, that was it. So, and next week, I think, you know, predictions, I think we're going to keep going. We're going to see more of this Sophie Kate stuff.
Well, there's already, okay, so there's a little bit of controversy now, which, shocking. But did you see that they cast Alfred's daughter?
I did. They cast a Pennyworth.
They cast a Pennyworth, but in the comics, Alfred's daughter is not a white girl.
Right.
In the show, they're making her a white girl.
I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
But in the new 52, where they supposedly fixed everything, and they said that the canonical. That one is not a white girl.
Yeah.
And they're completely changed.
But they're getting ready to get rid of the new 52 anyway.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Because they're doing a...
Crisis is going to fix everything.
Doomsday Clock is changing stuff, and then there's a new... there's the new... what are they calling it now? 5G.
5G?
It's coming to DC, and they're going to be another crisis level event and reset the comics.
Isn't that coming from my phone soon, too?
It might be. Not probably crisis. Not your phone.
Crisis sounds like your Armageddon.
Oh, dude. So that was Batwoman.
Super exciting.
And this is the first time I've gotten through an entire Batwoman episode without calling her Batgirl.
Yeah.
So you just did.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Batwoman.
Gotcha.
Girl.
So now we go to the other thrilling Sunday night show, Supergirl, season 5, episode 6, called Confidence Woman.
Oh, I thought it was called Ugh Flashbacks.
No. So in the Arrow show, whenever they go to flashbacks, Jack puts in his notes, Ugh, flash forwards.
Flash forwards, yeah.
They were flash forwards. This is an episode based solely on two completely non-main characters.
Yeah, well, which is something that's pretty main.
I didn't have a problem so much with it.
Actually, this season with her as the main villain, she's been in less than she has like the last 2 years.
This was there. So William is at the DEO to start off because he has free access to come in and out of the DEO now, I think.
Right.
Because they're talking to him.
Well, before that, though, don't we get... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're talking to him about...
William's there.
Knock off Dr. Octopus.
And with all the biotech they couldn't remove, somehow they got most of Ripwar's armor.
Yes.
That last episode they couldn't remove, but
right. Now you can see
they figured it out.
You can see that beard.
Yeah. that pretty face.
So the Shadow breaks into the DEO.
Yeah.
And is zipping all over the place until Supergirl blows the cold breath at her and she runs away.
Right. And then we find out that she's Andrea.
That's the Shadow is Andrea. We were wondering about that, and now we know that it's Andrea. So then Andrea goes to Lena and asks for help breaking into the DEO, and they start to have a heart-to-heart.
Well, I have right there, too, that somebody tells Lena about Leviathan.
Yeah, that is...
Was that Andrea, or was that...
Andrea.
Okay.
Andrea starts to tell her about Leviathan.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Then we go back 15 years ago to when they were kids.
Right, so that's...
In high school.
So let's do this timeline.
More timelines.
Let's do this timeline. So 15 years ago, so they're probably 15 in this clip, right? Because they're high school?
Easily between 15 and 17, I would say.
Okay. So that makes Andrea and Lena both like 31.
Roughly.
Not sure if I buy Andrea is early 30s.
She does not.
I mean, the actress is like 40, just about, so that might be why. But I don't buy the two of them as the same age to begin with, let alone. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I guess.
So they do.
But that also means that Lena is like super young compared to Lex. Because
right.
I feel like Cal's been Superman for 15 years in this world?
Easily.
Right?
Yeah, well, because...
At least 15 years?
But when they do the flashback to Superman, it's only 5 years ago?
Well, when they do the flashback to Lex talking about, oh, there's this new threat with Superman...
That's about 5 years ago.
Yeah, which is when Supergirl came out.
Right.
Because
it's a very wonky timeline.
They do have to keep the timeline because the Flash was in season one.
Right.
So it's been the same amount of time. Right? Because they keep crossing shows and the other shows are progressing at a year season.
But Barry messed up the timeline?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Worth a shot. Trying to help his out.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how, you know,
how this timeline's supposed to work for this.
I have no idea.
We even said Superman had aged way past her.
Yes.
So, and then we cut forward to 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, you get a little Andrea and Lena backstory, and they do the whole Rose from Titanic, and that's their favorite movie, and blah, blah, blah. Then we go to 5 years prior in Metropolis, and I have down here, yay, Lex.
And I had Lex.
Because John Cryer plays Lex Luthor in Supergirl, and is phenomenal as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
He was there last season, too.
He's really, really, really good. Surprisingly, Alan from Two and a Half Men is a great Lex Luthor. So.
He's also, you know, was Lex Luthor.
Right.
Or Lenny Luthor.
He was Lenny Luthor.
And do you remember him as Lenny Luthor? Do you not have your...
Superman 4?
Yeah.
Quest for Peace? Ray
Foot? No? Nuclear Man?
No.
No? Okay.
Continue.
No. I don't think JJ was around for Superman 4.
Fair enough.
That's the one Richard Pryor was in The Sun.
No.
That's the one after that.
Oh, God.
But yeah, that was 3, yeah. So we get the Ari from Ray Donovan is playing Andri's dad.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's not Hispanic, but that's fine.
Right. Well, I have Lena walks out on Lex. Right, Lex because, is being all evil.
And it, again, that seems to be when Superman showed up, so 5 years ago.
Right. Lena doesn't want to do bad.
Right.
She wants to do good. That's her party line.
Right.
Okay.
And I have written here, like, pretty sure that we, 5 years ago, we knew Supergirl and we're already in this, because it's season five, right?
Season five. Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then we go to the bar with Lena and Andrea.
Andrea's dad fires her.
Right. Because he's, their company's about to go under.
Right. Yeah, I did quick notes on this.
So that happens. They go to the bar. Right? They start quoting Titanic because they both want to be Rose.
Yes, they do.
You jump, I jump.
Right.
Quote, and then after she gets fired, I think that might have been prior, actually. And then, so this was,
yeah,
they say, you jump, I jump again when Andrea goes to Lena to say, I need your help.
Yes.
And Lena goes, I'm going to go find this medallion that I used to draw that my mom told me about.
The medallion of Akrata.
Which, again, makes the mom's age seem wonky from all this time. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they go to try and find it, and Andrea falls down a hole.
Because there's one element on the planet that can defeat Superman.
Well, no, that can defeat Lex's plan to defeat Superman.
Right. Because this is at the time that Lex wanted to see the atmosphere.
You guys are all missing JJ's head spinning.
With kryptonite. Right.
Right. And he wants to irradiate, the atmosphere. Similar to the machine they used to do the lead that Lena used in her first season. Which
got rid of Kara's boyfriend.
Right. And all the Daxamites that were going to destroy the Earth. So, right.
Except
Kara's boyfriend.
No, the Daxamite creature from the last episode.
Yeah. But that's, haven't they done something with the lead since then?
Probably. Who knows?
Anyway.
So I have Lena and Andrea go on an Indiana Jones hunt, which is a big theme in the Arrowverse this year.
Yeah. And then Andrea falls down a hole.
Yes.
And then Leviathan shows up.
A man just shows up behind her.
Right. And gives her the medallion.
Right. And then
everything starts to go right.
For Lena. Or not for Lena. For Andrea. Her company goes on the uptick.
So, right. So I don't know if you caught whose device failed.
Yeah, it was... Cords.
No, it was not Cord. It was Lord.
Lord.
So Maxwell Lord.
Maxwell Lord.
Who was in season three.
Season two or three? Yeah.
Of Supergirl.
Yeah.
So his company, which doesn't make sense because he was a real estate company, not a tech company.
Peter Facinelli, I want to say.
Yeah. No. Oh, that was season one. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking, who did they, who was?
Yeah, because he was the bad. He was the bad
in season one.
Against, Callista Falk, against Cat Grant.
That was dating Alex before Alex came out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
He was a tech company. Who was I thinking of then?
I don't know.
It was the bad guy in season three that went up against the one Eric Roberts played.
Oh, I don't remember.
I thought that was Lord. I'm mixing up my evil men in the Supergirl verse.
So... Andrea takes the medallion. Lena betrays Lex.
Right. And he
turned
to
the sun red. He goes to jail.
So this is 4 years ago now.
Right.
So Luther went to jail only 4 years ago now.
Yes.
Okay.
So Lena wants to leave Metropolis.
Yeah.
And goes to London with her then partner / boyfriend.
Yeah.
And runs into Andrea at a party. And Andrew turns around, and Andrew's wearing a medallion.
Yeah.
And Lena, that's it. We're done. We're not friends anymore.
Right.
Okay. That's when Lena decides to go to National City because they're doing the montage of Supergirl stuff, and she's seeing Supergirl saving and doing good, and she wants to be the Luther associated with good. So she goes to National City to help save lives.
Right.
That's working out so well now. Andrea is dating Russell.
Well, they meet.
They meet.
They had a business meeting that Russell...
Wake up, JJ. It's not that bad.
...was kind of there at, but Andrea ended up bailing out.
We're almost done.
Because she was upset.
And then Russell goes snooping in Andrea's bag.
Yeah.
Finds the medallion, and Leviathan shows up.
Right.
And starts...
Because now he's going to know too much.
Yes. And they start beating him up, and she begs and pleads, and they figure out a way to spare his life. And they make him Dr. Octopus.
Exactly. Rip Roar, which is a better name, Dr. Octopus or Rip Roar?
Yes. Mm.
Jay-Z, what do you think?
I like that.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really Dr. Octopus, he was more like Dr. Insect, because he had six.
Yes.
Total.
Ah, okay.
He had two arms, not right. four, which is probably how they got away with...
copyright infringements.
Exactly.
Then we fast forward a little bit more, and Lena in National City sells cat code Andrea?
Correct, and Sid tells her to set her headquarters up there.
Right. And then we are finally back in the present. Flipping over the pages here. And Andrea finally comes fully clean to Lena about everything. About Leviathan, about the medallion, about everything. Russell... As they're kind of interrogating Russell, Kara manages to break through to Russell enough that he just says the word Leviathan to her, and that's all he says
right.
before they activate him. So this actually, I thought, was actually a kind of cool little sequence. Lena draws Supergirl to her apartment so that Andrea can be the shadow person and go get... what's her name? Russell out.
Right. The weird part with that, so I don't know if you noticed during that part, so Andrea...
when she first changed into the shadow person, like, she automatically got a costume.
Yep.
And her hair got done.
Yep.
Every time she switched over to the shadow person. But then, yep. when she's demoing for Lena, it looks like she doesn't have to switch into this person to use the shadow power. She doesn't need the costume.
She could just zip in and out of
the
shadows.
Yeah, it's just poor.
So, the shadow invades the DEO using Lena. Lena uses her Inception device to make everyone in the DEO like zombies, basically.
Right. But it doesn't work.
Well, John senses the psychic attack.
And talk to Alex.
Talk to Alex, and they put in the psychic inhibitors that only they have.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no, John doesn't need a psychic inhibitor.
No, but Alex...
but Alex got to use a psychic inhibitor.
She has the psychic inhibitors.
I don't know why you don't watch these shows, JJ.
God bless you guys.
Brainy, who didn't have a lot to do this episode, which was kind of a disappointment. Brainy's actually the best character on the show.
Brainiac 5.
Oh, for the love of God.
From the future.
Jesus Christ.
It's like the 42nd century or something?
31st,
sorry. So, everybody basically got taken over by the Inception stuff. And the Shadow gets Russell out of the DEO.
Right.
Which is the most secure place in National City. By the way, earlier in the episode when Andrea... mentioned the DEO, Lena played dumb, and that was kind of funny. What's the DEO? Anyway, Lena then takes the medallion from Andrea, and let's see. Russell gets shot. The medallion won't work for anyone.
Right, when
anyone.
They're trying to get on the plane.
The medallion won't work for anyone but Andrea. So according to what the Leviathan guy said, who appeared unaged... the same Leviathan guy that appeared in the hole.
Crypt, right, or
right.
in the, whatever it was.
He was completely unaged.
Right. Morgan Edge. That's who I was thinking
Morgan
of. Adrian
Edge.
Pasdar.
Wait, Morgan Edge?
Yeah, sorry.
That's
why I've been quiet. I've been trying to figure out who that
was. That's fine.
And
no,
I had to
Morgan,
scroll a bunch.
See, Morgan Edge was in Smallville, played by Rutger Hauer.
Oh, he was much younger when he was Adrian Pasdar.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
So basically,
stuff happens. Oh, now
Russell
there's tattoo
shot.
People again.
There were some tattoo
because they broke
people.
Open the tattoos and they.
But
they
got shot into a cell and they're fine and
right. And during that fight, John decides that he's going to just get in a fist fight with the Shadow instead of using any of the Martian powers and cool stuff that he has.
Yep. Sounds about right.
And they're trying to leave. Then we find out the powers are in Andrea, not in the medallion. They just unlocked them.
Right.
So now that's your drop for later.
That's basically the entire episode.
And it's another episode where we barely get Kara.
Nope.
Which
she's in like three scenes.
Again, that's what's driving me nuts this season. Like, the more they go supporting cast and the less they go with Supergirl, who's the title of the show, the tougher it is to watch.
Much.
Because I'm way more invested in Kara and actually watching that character grow and develop instead of resetting every season.
Yep.
Than I am in watching all of these other backstories that I kind of know what's going to happen with all of them already.
Same.
I just need the crisis to come and kill all of them.
If you had been here during an Arrow and Flash recap, you would have had more questions and actually been a little bit more entertained.
Right.
These shows are a bit of a struggle to watch.
Not you in the crowd listening, because we appreciate you listening.
We love that you in the crowd listen, all of you.
Much appreciated.
So, real fast, before we tie this up, there were a couple Crisis commercials.
Yeah, they dropped the first teaser.
Comicbook.com is spoiling everything possible.
Yeah, I stopped reading them. I blocked them.
I can't look anymore.
I haven't listened to a comicbook.com article probably since...
Last Jedi?
Yeah, probably. They said it was good.
Yeah, there's been way too many. But even Guggenheim and those guys are like dropping spoilers left and right. So, and they said there's a lot more stuff.
The creator.
Yeah, him, Berlanti and Guggenheim are the guys that run the Arrowverse stuff.
That's a building in Chicago, or New York. The Guggenheim.
Yeah.
It is. So I the commercial was pretty cool. You get to see Brandon Routh.
Would that be in Crisis?
Yes. This is their.
Now I'm talking about the Guggenheim.
No.
No, the Guggenheim will not be. he may be. He may have a cameo. Who knows? But
and we see Black Lightning in the trailer.
We see Black Lightning.
Now that I've actually wanted to watch.
Right. The show in Brandon Routh was pretty cool. I like that.
Ralph. Still Ralph.
He looked really good for the like split second that saw him. He looked great. He's playing older Superman.
Right.
Kingdom Come-ish Christopher Reeve, basically.
That's supposedly, yeah, because that's who he was. So they're going to make that world into the Kingdom Come.
Right. So it looked good. And Stephen Amell, Arrow wrapped, closed for good.
I saw that picture on Instagram, actually.
I've been dodging all that, too.
Same here. I haven't read anything about the episode. Just the emotional goodbyes that everybody's been posting has been really touching and sweet.
They'll be filming their new show next week. So article I did see today.
Yes.
Just to tie it back to the shows we talked about today. So Batwoman apparently is declining in ratings every single week.
Oh, good. So that's not going to last.
And rumor mill is that it will not make it. So they did the full season pickup.
Right.
So now we'll have to wait and see if it's canceled quietly in the night. Sometime during the spring.
They're going to have, like we said before, seven. It's going to be seven superhero shows now.
I mean, yeah, they have two more coming.
So
I don't know if Legends will make it another season after this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Legends ends, Arrow ends, Black Lightning will get canceled, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Because, JJ, you don't know. So as Black Lightning, we tried this season, but not great.
No.
We didn't include that in this one.
Season one was great. Season two was... a struggle, and this season seems more like season two than season one from the bit I watched.
Gotcha.
So when we include the Arrow and the Flash, it seems like we're picking hard at them sometimes. Those are the two that I enjoy the most, and I pick at them more.
The Flash is the best of all of them.
I like the Arrow more. The Arrow this season has been
fantastic.
We've been saying that all along.
Yeah.
But that is all for our Arrowverse recap. Two shows. Next week we'll be back with a condensed four shows. We're gonna
tighten it up
down a little bit more, especially after the slog of this week's. So, thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find Jack at his
Kid Talks on the Twitters and the Instagrams. Make sure you stop by if you're downloading this on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you go and review and rate us.
Please review. Get that bad review off of there and get some of the better reviews up there.
Only 5 stars works. I don't know. If you knew that, though, none of the lower denominations work. Only 5 stars work.
That's exactly right. You want to look us up. Look us up on Facebook. Look us up on Instagram, Twitter, Nerd Revolution Radio. Look for it. Love it. We'll see you next time.